الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah. May Allah's peace and blessings be on the last Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and on all those who follow the path of righteousness until the last day. As my brother introduced the topic, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's advice to Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And Mu'adh ibn Jabal is one of the companions who accepted Islam from Medina, from the two tribes of Medina, the Aus and the Khazraj. He was from the Khazraj. And he was one who the Prophet ﷺ gave special responsibilities, especially in the area of da'wah. He is well known for the hadith of the call to tawheed, where the Prophet ﷺ sent him to Yemen as the governor, judge, teacher of Yemen, and told him that you are coming to a people from the people of the book. Now the first thing that you should call them to is the oneness, the unique oneness of Allah, and yuwahidullah. And if they accept that, then inform them that Allah has made obligatory on them 5 prayers every day, and so on and so forth. It's a well-known hadith. Usually the books in Tawheed begin with it. And it is the hadith of Mu'adh. Anyway, what we are going to be looking at is another occasion in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave Mu'adh a special message. A message which Mu'adh conveyed to the Ummah as a whole. And this message contained a special dua which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught him, and on the basis of which the Prophet expressed his great love for Mu'adh. On a particular occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took a hold of the hand of Mu'adh. He took hold of his hand. And he said to him, O Mu'adh, by Allah, I really love you. And the Arabic, actually the English, can only express it to a certain degree. But in the Arabic, we have the Prophet ﷺ saying, Wallahi, after saying, Ya Mu'adh, Wallahi, Inni la uhibbuk. Inni means, certainly, surely, definitely, and then la uhibbuk. Normally in Arabic you just say uhibbuk, but he said la uhibbuk. La here means also surely, decidedly, so it is like overloaded with emphasis which you can't really express in English. So the best thing I could come up with was, O Mu'adh, indeed, I really love you. And he repeated it a second time. And we should feel something of that circumstance in which the Prophet ﷺ expressed this to Mu'adh. Imagine, the Prophet ﷺ taking hold of your hand and telling you that he really loves you. That is a circumstance which is unimaginable. And after telling him that, he then said to him that at the end of every prayer, do not forget to say, or do not leave off saying this dua. The dua, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Very compact. Allahumma a'inni, wallah help me, ala dhikrika, to remember you, wa shukrika, to be grateful to you, wa husni ibadatik, and to perfect my worship of you. On the basis of this dua, the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ours. Mu'adh shared this with those who studied under him, the companions that were close, and we now find it in our books of hadith like Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Abi Dawood, etc. And this statement of Mu'adh, or which was conveyed to Mu'adh, it contains a summary of the essential elements for us to achieve the correct practice of Islam, for us to achieve the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. We see in it, at the same time, the expression of love. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling the companion that he loves him. And this is something, in general, which we are encouraged to do. For example, in Sunan Abi Dawood, we find the Prophet ﷺ, as narrated by Anas ibn Malik, sitting with one of the companions, and a man walks by, and the companion turns to the Prophet ﷺ and said, I love this man. So the Prophet ﷺ asked him, did you tell him? He told him no. He said, so tell him. So he immediately got up, ran after him, stopped him, and said, أُحِبُّكَ فِي اللَّهِ. I love you for the sake of Allah. And he replied, أَحَبَّكَ الَّذِي أَحْبَبْتَنِي لَهِ. May the one for whom you loved me love you. So, this is something in general that we are encouraged when we see those who are doing things which are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which draws us close to them. And we do have a feeling of love for them because of Allah's love for them. Then to express to them that love, this is a part of the sunnah. Anyway, if we look at the statement or the dua which Mu'adh was taught by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it begins with the phrase Allahumma, which is equivalent to Ya Allah, but carries its own weight. Allahumma. Different from the mispronunciation commonly found among non-Arabs, Allahumma. It's not Allahumma, but Allahumma. Just as Allah's name is not Allah, non-Muslims say this, Allah. It is Allah. So, Allahumma. Allahumma, we are addressing Allah. O Allah. And this address, initially, on one hand, affirms Tawheed, in that we are calling on Allah alone. And at the same time, it negates the shirk common today among the nations and even within the ranks of Muslims themselves. It negates the shirk of the mystics, the Sufis, who will call out, Ya Abdul Qadir! O Abdul Qadir. O Ya Wali so and so. Saint this or saint that. As well as it negates the shirk of the Shia who will say Ya Ali, Ya Fatma, Ya Hassan, Ya Hussein. And it negates, likewise, the shirk of the largest religion with following in the world today, and that is Christianity, which will call on who? Call on Jesus Christ in these times. Oh, Jesus. Some say, oh, sweet Jesus. They sweet it up a bit. But all of this is shirk. All of it is shirk. So the call, when we turn for help, for our prayers to be answered, that call should be to Allah. So the common practice we find in certain masjids, where on one corner of the mihrab you will see a plate or a plaque which says, Ya Allah. And then on the other side of the mihrab you will see another plaque which says what? Ya Muhammad. Ya Muhammad. Putting them on equal status. As you call to Allah, Ya Allah, you can call to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Muhammad. This is error. It is misguidance. It is something which crept in amongst the ummah many generations after the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyway, the first phrase is Allahumma a'inni, O Allah, help me. So we're calling on Allah's help. That help is a reiteration of the help that we call on Allah for 17 times a day when we say, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And on you alone do we seek help. إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And I'm sure you've heard this phrase expressed and explained to you before, that there is an emphasis in إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. As in إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, there is an emphasis, which again is very strong in Arabic. In English it kind of loses its weight. Because normally, in Arabic we would have just said, نَسْتَعِينُكَ وَنَسْتَعِينُكَ. But when we say, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, we have taken the object of our seeking help, from whom we're seeking help, and placing it before the verb itself. So we say, إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, instead of just نَسْتَعِينُكَ. So this in Arabic means you alone, absolutely, no one else besides you, do we seek help from. And obviously, this is in reference to help beyond the day-to-day help we may get from people to fix the tire of our car when we have a breakdown, or fix this, or help me do that, etc. It's understood. This is not what it's speaking about. إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ refers to seeking help beyond ourselves, beyond what is here present, to forces beyond us, that the only source of real help is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This should be clear in our mind. So when a Christian says to us, I know Jesus is God, because when I called on Him in prayer, my prayers were answered. And for sure, he or she is going to say this. Because if they raised their hands and called on Jesus and their prayers were never answered, you think they would keep on raising their hands? So this becomes for them evidence. And it becomes very difficult to convince them that no, it is not Jesus who is answering your prayer. It's God. The simple way, if their minds are a little bit open, is to ask them, well, when the Hindu turns to his idol, and he calls on his idol, Shiva, or Ganesh, the elephant head god, and his prayers are answered, what do you think? Is it their idols that are answering those prayers? And of course, the Christian will have to say no. It is not the idol. It is not that elephant head god, Ganesh. It's God who is really answering the prayer. So we say, same story. Because only Allah can really help us. So, what we find here is Allah emphasizing the importance of putting our trust in Him. Because when we call on Him alone, this is based on what? Based on having full trust in Him. That it is He alone who can in fact answer our prayers. And this spiritual concept of trust, known as tawakkul, this is a part and parcel of our worship of Allah. By putting our trust in Him, turning to Him, this is part of our worship. So this is the beginning of worship here. As Allah told us in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 23, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Put your trust in Allah if you are truly believers. That is a given. True belief requires that our trust be directed to Allah alone. And of course, this trust has to be based on obedience, on true faith and effort. It is not just a blind trust that Allah is going to help us regardless. So when the Prophet ﷺ described the man on the journey, whose hair is disheveled, dust in his hair, he gets off his riding animal, and he drops to his knees and he raises his hands in prayer, and he calls on Allah. He's on a journey, and we know the dua is especially answered during the journey. And it's an arduous journey. And he's turning to Allah and he's raising his hands in dua. But the Prophet ﷺ had said, but his earning is haram. Riba. Mortgages. Student loans. Haram. His flesh is grown from haram food. The money was haram. So when he bought food, that food became haram, and his flesh grown on his body was a product of haram. So how is Allah to answer his prayers? So turning to Allah, calling on Him, is only real, practical, if we have done what Allah has prescribed of us. Then we have truly the right to turn to Him and have our prayers answered. But it doesn't mean that because we may be in error in different parts of our practice, that we say, okay, well, no point turning to Him now. No. We still turn to Him. We still turn to Him. Because there's such that we do that He might forgive, because of other good that we have done that might outweigh. So it's still only He who is going to be able to help us. So we still have to turn to Him. But if we really want success, then we have to work for it. Means we have to do what is pleasing to Allah, that He would turn to us when we call on Him. So, the call, asking for Allah's help, is one which reminds us that first and foremost, it is إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And Allah has ridiculed in the Quran those who would call on others beside Him, saying, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ عِبَادٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ. Surely those who you call on in prayer besides Allah are servants just like yourselves. It's ludicrous to call on others besides Allah. So, the hadith begins with an affirmation of Allah's oneness, that dua should be directed to Allah alone, and a rejection of calling on others besides Allah. The first request, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika, help us to remember you. This remembrance of Allah we know as dhikr. Dhikr from the Islamic perspective includes all of the various acts of worship. It is the goal of worship itself, which is why Allah said with regards to salah, our primary act of worship, أقم الصلاة لذكري. Establish the prayer for my remembrance. So if the essence of the prayer is the remembrance of Allah, then we should be clear why that is so important. Does Allah benefit from our remembrance of Him? Of course not. So obviously it is for a benefit that we need. We need to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Allah has also pointed out that in the forgetfulness of Allah, there is great evil. We find in Surah Al-Mujadala, Allah saying there, Satan has gotten the better of them and caused them to forget Allah. فَأَنْسَاهُمْ ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ. Those are the party of Satan. Truly, the party of Satan are the real losers. That is the methodology of Satan, to get us to forget Allah through a variety of different channels. But the main goal, forget Allah. Because once we forget Allah, then it is easy to draw us into disobedience. When we remember Allah, it is much more difficult. That's why we're encouraged to say Bismillah before we eat, in a variety of different occasions. Bismillah. Before we make wudu, Bismillah. So, the remembrance of Allah, if in the forgetfulness of Allah we fall into disobedience, then obviously in the remembrance of Allah we are able to establish obedience. That's the bottom line. We remember Allah, we obey Him. When we forget Him, we disobey Him. That's just a simple formula. So the more we can remember Him, the better. And we find the Prophet ﷺ encouraging us in a variety of different hadiths about remembering Allah often. That we should keep our tongues moist with the remembrance of Allah. And Allah, in reference to dhikr, had also said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. O believers, remember Allah often. This is one of the characteristics of the believers, that they often remember Allah. So, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave this to us as the first recommendation that we should seek from Allah, His help in remembering Him. Because ultimately our success in this short life of ours will depend on the remembrance of Allah. It is the essence of salah. It is the core of fasting. It is the goal of hajj. It is the reason for zakah. Our ibadah as a whole is about remembering Allah. And that's why the prayers are set in the day at 5 points. To help us remember Allah between those times of prayer. There's a structure. Our day structured around the remembrance of Allah. To make us better people. And that's why Allah says about the salah, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. That salah prevents, should prevent evil speech and evil deeds. So if that salah is not preventing evil speech and evil deeds with us or with others, then this is a sign that the salah that we are doing, that we are making, the prayers that we are doing, are not the prayers which were prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're doing our own thing. Our own customs and our own traditions. The salah has become a physical routine. Something like yoga. You know, for the Hindus. Yoga is a form of worship for them. They worship God through yoga. Now we learn yoga and we benefit from the stretching and all this. It benefits us. We take physical benefit from it. So don't be surprised that non-Muslims may come in and say, yeah, I really felt benefit from ruku' and sujood. And you have people who have even written on all the physical benefits of these various positions. But this is not the goal. This is not the purpose. The purpose is to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The salah is our communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it should be represented in our various practices and actions concerning the salah. So just as a very small point, but it has bigger implications. An incident which happened to me years ago, back in Dubai, where we had an Islamic center, I'd set up a da'wah center called the Islamic Information Center. And we were making da'wah to non-Muslims. And we had a number of them accept Islam, quite a few. And one day I took a group of them into the masjid to make salah. And they prayed along with everybody without actually learning all that needed to be said in the salah because there was no time, they just recently taken shahada. So they prayed, they just went through the movements and we told them, just do as we do. And they did it. And then at the end, they sat, as we sat. And then I went over and sat with a group of them and asked them if they had any questions, etc. So some of them said, we saw something which was a bit strange. We wanted, perhaps you could explain to us what this was. Because everybody in the masjid seemed to be healthy. But at the end of the salah, all of a sudden, it appeared as if they all had Parkinson's. You know Parkinson's disease when you start to shake, tremble. Okay. So I said, what do you mean? They said, well, we saw them, their hands were like this. At the end of the prayer, on their legs, you know, just shaking like this. So what was that? You know? Well, I was ashamed to tell them that people were supposed to be remembering Allah doing that. What was supposed to have been Subhanallah. 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 Had become Spanla. Spanla. And Alhamdulillah had become Hamdla. Hamdla. And Allahu Akbar had become Lakbar. Lakbar. So, people in their attempt to try to finish this tasbih of 33 times, you know. So they were just going 90 miles an hour. Believing that this was in fact remembrance of Allah. But could this possibly have been remembrance of Allah? It is not remembrance of Allah. It is actually an insult. It is an insult. It is not an expression of remembrance of Allah, but an affront to Allah. Something displeasing to Allah. Hateful in the sight of Allah. But the Ummah is... This is the Ummah today. So then we wonder, where is the help of Allah? Why isn't Allah helping us? Because we haven't done our duty to the application of the religion of Allah. In Tansurullah, Yansurkum. This is Allah's promise. But it's a conditional promise. If you help the religion of Allah by implementing it in your lives, then Allah will help you. But if we are abusing the remembrance of Allah, if dhikr has become this, these acts of displeasure, then what can we expect? So, we need the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this matter in order to establish His remembrance as it is supposed to be in our lives. To turn back and to do it right. Recognize our error. It's not too late, we're still alive. We still have some time. Correct it. None of us, after Salatul Isha today, will display the symptoms of Parkinson's. And inshallah, till we die, it will never come back to us. We put this one aside, write it off, and start remembering Allah as He deserves to be remembered. The second principle, which Mu'adh ibn Jabal was told in the dua, was, Allahumma inni a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika. And help me to be grateful to you. Gratitude. Gratitude about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, La in shakartum la azidannakum. If you give thanks, I will give you more. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, any servant who is blessed by Allah and says, Alhamdulillah, will be given better than what he had just received. And this, at the same time, Allah goes on to say in that same verse, وَلَا إِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. But if you disbelieve, indeed, my punishment will be severe. If you disbelieve, what is disbelief in reference to here? If you give thanks, I will give you more. But if you disbelieve, meaning if you are ungrateful, Allah equates ingratitude with disbelief. Because it's a form of disbelief. You're not recognizing the one who has given you so much. So it is a form of disbelief in Allah. And if we fall into that trap, then know the punishment of Allah is severe. So, gratitude is one of the characteristics of the believer. One of the fundamental characteristics. Because this is a part of remembering Allah. As the Prophet ﷺ had said in another hadith, the affair of the believer is amazing. عَجَبًا لِعَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. And this is only in the case of the believer. Because when good comes to him, he thanks Allah. And Allah rewards him for it. That's part of his character. When good comes, when good times come, when he's successful, etc., what does he do? When that real great good comes to him, he doesn't just jump up in the air screaming, you know, shooting, punching his hand. Yeah, you know, this is not his way. That's Tiger Woods and the others, you know. This is not our way. When that great good comes, what do? Huh? We say Alhamdulillah, but there's another thing we do. Huh? Salat is shukr, no, we don't have that. Huh? Sujood is shukr. Sujood is shukr. That's what we're supposed to do. Fall down on our faces in sujood. You don't have to have wudu. Just fall down at that time. When good comes. Who has here made sujood a shukr in the past week? Put your hand up. We have one person. Two. Three people in the past week. What is that saying? Is that saying that the rest of us, no good has happened? No great good has happened in our lives? There's nothing to be thankful like that to Allah for? No. That was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what he did. Whenever great good came, that's the first thing he did. Sujood, straight away. This is how out of touch we are. Islam. Islam is going one way, we're going another way. Out of sync. And this is why we are faced with the trials we're faced with today. That gratitude is not really there. Even if we say Alhamdulillah, it became what? Alhamdulillah. It wasn't really Alhamdulillah. It was Hamla. God. Useless. Useless. No, it's not a shortcut. There's no shortcut. That's a wrong cut. Gone in the wrong direction. We have to make some changes here, isn't it? We have to turn some things around here. Getting back to basics, exactly. And that's what the deen is about, establishing the basics. If we don't have the basics in order, then all the other things we're building is like building castles on sand. Not sand castles, it's castles on sand. No foundation. It's going to fall apart. So, gratitude, equality, which we all need to express, to be on our lips, to be in our family, our children, our wives, our relatives, we should hear these expressions of gratitude regularly whenever we sit. It doesn't mean it's the only thing we can talk about, but it should be interspersed in all of our conversations. When it is there, when you keep hearing it all the time, then it means really you have a people who are grateful. And that's why Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, look to those who are below you. Materially, in the material world, look to those who are below you, not to those who are above you. Because it is better for you to remember Allah's favor on you. That's where the appreciation lies. But when you listen to the family, if you just sit around and listen to the family, what are they talking about? All I want this, and so-and-so has this, and they have a nice this, and I would like to have, and why can't we have, and that's all. Constantly, just reaching for the dunya, always wanting more, this, that. And reality is that there is no end to it. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, in a famous narration, authentic narration, found in Sahih Muslim and elsewhere, is reported by Ibn Umar as making the dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min qalbin la yakhsha, wa min du'ain la yusma', wa min nafsin la tushba', wa min ilmin la yanfa'. A'udhu bika min ha'ula'il arba'. There are narrations, la tashba' wa la tushba'. Tushba'. That is, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from a heart which does not fear you. A prayer not heard. A soul which cannot be satisfied. And knowledge which is of no benefit. I seek refuge in you from these four. A soul which cannot be satisfied. This is the desire for the things of this world, which has no end. So the Prophet ﷺ had said, if the child of Adam were given a valley of gold, they would want another one. The grass is always greener on the other side. That is how we see things. There is no end to it. So those desires cannot be fulfilled. So if we focus on trying to fulfill these desires, then we will remain discontented. We cannot achieve contentment. We cannot feel satisfaction. We will always be jealous of, desiring of, turmoil, internal turmoil. People succeed, we feel, why did they succeed and I didn't succeed? That's not fair. I'm better than them. I'm this, I'm that. Why not? So, where is the gratitude? Gratitude kills all of that. Knowing that whatever Allah has given us is what is best for us. Not meaning we can't strive. Yes, we can. But after striving, then whatever comes as a result of that striving, we have to be thankful for. Knowing that no matter how bad our situation might be, no matter what is going on in our circumstances, always there will be people worse off than us. So we look to them. As long as we focus on them, then we will be able to recognize the mercy, the blessings, the gifts which Allah has put in our own lives. And the last of the wishes that we seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَحُسْنِ عِبَادَتِكَ, to worship you properly. This represents the acts of obedience that we do, beginning with salah, fasting, etc., that we do it in the best way, properly, in a way which is pleasing to Allah. In a way which is pleasing to Allah. So we ask Allah's help. O Allah, help us to worship you as you deserve to be worshipped. And that worship was demonstrated for us by the Prophet ﷺ. He demonstrated and explained, externally explained, how the worship should be, so that the various acts of the worship, the form in which it takes, it has importance. You know, some people say, well, why want to make a big deal about, you know, where you put your hands and all this, why not? There are bigger issues. But the Prophet ﷺ, in the masjid, walked up the minbar, stood on top of the minbar, facing Qibla, and started to make salah. And the companions in the masjid, they all stopped and watched him. They watched him. He stood up, made ruku', stood up again, and they're waiting to see what was going to happen. Because on the third step of the minbar, it's not like this one here, it's narrow. So where was he going to make sujood? And he backed down the minbar, walked backwards away from the minbar, made sujood, sat up, made sujood, stood up, and walked back up the minbar again. When he completed the salah, after walking back down for the second rak'ah, and finished, they were waiting for some explanation. This is a salah they'd never seen the Prophet ﷺ do before. So he turned to them and he said, I only did that so that you would learn the way I make my prayer. So they would see how the prayer was done, demonstrated practically. Not just in words said, etc., but practically demonstrated. So it means then that to try to do it externally, as close to the way that he did it as possible, this is something desirable. It's not something to be scoffed at. So there are principles involved here. I don't have the time tonight to be able to go through the whole salah. But just the very beginning of the salah, it is enough to know that the Prophet ﷺ, when he raised his hands, it is authentically recorded that he raised his hands on some occasions to the level of his shoulders, and on some occasions he raised it to the level of his ears. Right? To the level of his ears. With the palms facing the Qibla. Not like this. Not like this. You have people who have to check to make sure their ears are still on their head, right? When they're starting prayers, right? But it's not recorded he ever did this. He raised his hands to the level of his ears. That was it. Level of his ears. And then he placed his right hand on top of his left hand on his chest. In different fashion, sometimes on the back of his left hand, on the wrist, on the forearm, not up on the upper arm. This practice of praying like this is not on the sunnah at all. Also, the practice which is commonly taught in certain parts of the world that you're supposed to grip your wrist by the thumb and the little finger, and you place the three on the back here. He never did this. Where did that come from? Some scholars decided to try to make the best of two practices of the Prophet. He used to hold his wrist and he used to place his hand on the back of his wrist. Two things. He either did this or he did this. So they said, okay, we'll get the holding from here, these two. Or we'll get the placing from these three. But you can't do this. It's incorrect. Though it has become a madhab, it is taught, standard practice, etc., it is false. And when he placed his right hand on his left, he did so in a clear motion, like this. He didn't do like some people do when they start the prayer, they go like this. You know? Their hands are just this kind of motion. Somewhere in there, there was a raising of the hand, but you know, couldn't even catch it. This is what our salah has become. It is sad. We can laugh about it, but in fact, it's something we should be crying about. Because it's telling us that some of the simplest things, because that's just the external. We're not talking about the internal part of the salah yet, which is the harder part. We're talking about the external, which is simple. We're not doing that right. So can you imagine what's happening with the internal? Why the Prophet ﷺ said, some people pray and nothing of it is recorded for them. Nothing. So, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to correct our worship, to perfect our worship of Him, to follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to worship as he did, to learn and to know how to worship as he did. And it takes some effort. It doesn't just come. We have to go out of our ways to sit in classes, sit under those who are knowledgeable, get books, read, and learn how to worship properly. Externally and internally, the essence of the internal worship is sincerity, that we worship Allah sincerely. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. They're only commanded to worship Allah, making the religion sincere for Him. That we are worshipping Him sincerely. Not to be seen, but with a true desire to want to connect with Allah, to communicate with Allah. That combining the external, correct, and the internal, sincere, then we can perfect our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us the intention to make a change and to correct our past errors, our negligence, our laziness, our ignorance, and to put us, help us to put ourselves on the correct path. To make this dua after each prayer and to reflect on it. Allahumma, everybody, أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. Allah, help me to remember you and to be grateful to you and to worship you properly. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah khair for being with me tonight. And I ask you all to make dua for me as I will make dua for you.